Everybody, how y'all doing this evening? If you out there in Facebook land, shout out, say hello, what's up, how you doing? We just want to know that you're out here as we do this teaching. So if you on live, if you see me live, let me know. Cool. What's up, Ashley? How you doing? You doing all right? Oh, just Ashley or Truman, both of y'all. I know y'all both there. How y'all doing? We're just gonna get started for a minute. So what's up? How you doing? Thank you for joining. We'll be doing the Bible study tonight. So glad to have you on. Hey, what's up? What's up, Truman? How you doing? So if you're getting on, it's going to take a couple more minutes. We're going to jump right into it. Bible study tonight, we're going to be looking at the Torah. We're going to go step by step. We're going to review a little bit. I'm using like two different platforms. So I'm jumping between screens. We're going to do like a little review of what we covered last week. We're going to cover a little bit of history. You know, hope everybody's staying warm. Because this has been cold the last couple of days, so we're just gonna give a couple more minutes. I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing good. So just a couple more minutes and then we'll get right into it. Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing? The Duncan family, y'all doing all right? Good to see y'all on there. Glad y'all could join us. Absolutely. Thank you for joining. We're going to get started in about 60 seconds. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? We're going to get started in about 30 more seconds. So we're going to jump right into it. Yeah, it has been a while. I keep looking. I lose hair almost every year. So yeah, it's been a minute. So thank you everybody for joining in. We're gonna go ahead and get started. So last week we started a teaching a Torah series. So we're gonna go step by step through the Torah and kind of break down some things, talk about some things. I don't know about you, but this has been an interesting couple of weeks with the cold out here. We're going to start. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, don't really matter because I'll read it along with you. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to start from there. We're going to talk a lot from like a historical perspective so that I can paint a picture. So like last week we had talked about Torah. And what the Torah is, and I will be sharing my notes just in the midst of the day. I wasn't able to upload it, but those individuals, if you follow me or if you want to actually have my notes and my outlines, I'll send them to you so that you can have like a reference point to study. So last week, when we studied, what I was trying to cover is the importance of the Torah. And for those individuals who are just now getting on, you know, the Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible. And those individuals who are in the Christian church, it is one of those things in which we really don't have a conversation about the Torah or the following of the Torah. And we know for a lot of people, especially in particular Black people, there's a lot of conversations about, you know, Hebrews, and, you know, people are coming to a realization that African Americans are clearly descendants of biblical Hebrews, and everyone put some things in the perspective. So you have individuals who are saying Hebrew Israelites, and then individuals who are kind of debating, should we follow the Torah, or should we follow the law, or we're under grace, or we're a New Testament church versus Old Testament church. So it, you know, we've been having, there's a lot of dialogue that's been going on. So the goal of the Torah series is to go line by line through the first five books of the Bible, and then having some scholarly conversations about what the original intention of the Torah. So when the Bible was first put together, and what we kind of talked about last week, when the Bible was first put together, you have what we call the first five books of the Bible, which is the Torah, and then you have what we call the writings. You know, so any books that are not the first five books of the writings, then you have what they call the prophetic books, and then you have oral history. A lot of people really don't put it in perspective, because the Bible has been around for years and periods of time, that each one of these books of the Bible were actually literally books that were written during a certain period of time, during a certain history. And they were written to address issues that was given by the Most High to have this conversation with his people to his people. So a lot of times we really don't put that in clear perspective as to the Torah being a book that was written to address Hebrew people. So with that being the case, we as Christians, or people who are probably born and raised and been in church their whole entire life, we don't really have a conversation about the Torah at all. But now it's coming back. And from, you know, conversations with individuals who are coming to a realization that Black people are Hebrews, they're asking questions like, should you follow the Torah or should you not follow the Torah? The Bible says this, or the Torah says this, but what gives us the right to do certain things? So last week we kind of covered that. This week we're going to kind of talk about the historical portion of it, the historical piece, because I think we have to put this thing into perspective. How do we get to the point where we no longer study the Torah, and should we study the Torah? And then how do we have this conversation? Are we a New Testament church? Hey, what's going on? Are we a New Testament church, or are we an Old Testament church? Those kind of things. So during the course of this series, that is what we're going to be covering. So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And this is Jesus having a conversation with the disciples. And he simply states, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So one of the things, let me start with this perspective. There is no indication in scripture whatsoever that the Torah or the first five books of the Bible were to be nullified, that we as people of faith were not to follow them. Jesus Christ did not come to die on the cross for your sins so you could eat pork sandwiches. Let me just say that again. There is no indication in scripture. Jesus said clearly in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that he did not come to nullify or to get rid of the law, but to fulfill it. So the word fulfill, as I discussed last week, what means to bring to the fullest extent. For an example, a good example of that is cell phone, right? You have an Android cell phone, an iPhone X, right? In your Samsung, for example, I got a Samsung Galaxy 8 Plus, right? In that Samsung Galaxy 8 Plus, there is technology that is built into that phone that you and I are not accustomed to. We know basic things, what to do with that phone, but there's technology in that phone. It is when we actually upgrade it that the technology that was in the phone comes to a full fruition. For example, when you update your phone, the technology is already built in there. It just becomes fulfilled, or it becomes fuller of what it becomes. So when we have a conversation about did Christ, or through the Bible, did Jesus Christ get rid of the law? No, he brought it to fulfillment, or to the fullest extent. So today, as I thumb through my notes, let me get to where I want to be. This whole conversation about the Torah, not following the Torah, or that your Old Testament or New Testament church is erroneous. There is no really such thing as a New Testament church. There's no such thing as it. There is just a dispensation or a time of the fulfillment, or the fullest extent of what was written in the first. So when these books were written, and the first five books was written by Moses, understand that when Moses wrote these books, the children of Israel had just came out of slavery, or they came out of bondage from Egypt. Now, what I'm going to say hopefully will make a whole lot of sense. We know as African-American people, and what I said last week, I'm going to try to make this teaching culturally relevant so that we can put it in today's perspective. We know as African-American people the damage that slavery does to a people. If you take away a person's name, their heritage, and their culture, they lose their identity. Anyone disagree with me? If you're on Facebook, give me a thumbs up if you agree. If you take away a person's name, heritage, culture, you really take away their identity. The whole process of a slave or a person to serve a master or to be in a level of captivity, there had to be a systematic, thank you, appreciate it, a systematic way to take away a person's culture, identity, and heritage. So when Moses led the children of Israel, or children of Israel, out of Egypt, they had to be retaught. Why? Because they themselves did not know who they were. They did not know who they were as a people. Their name, their culture, their heritage had been suppressed to a great extent by Egypt or Egyptian culture or Egyptian influence. For an example, we as African Americans, when we in 1865, when slavery ended in the United States, it was the creation of HBCUs that were designed to educate us so that we could learn who we were as a people. That's why Central State, Howard Universities was created, because we had no clue of who we were. We were not educated, and what we were educated in was those things that our overseers or our masters had control over us, right? So we had to be educated. So the exact same thing happened to the children of Israel. They come out of bondage, they need to be taught. So the first thing that Moses did in the first line of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God. Isn't that an amazing way to start? That you start the identity of who your people is with going back to the reference point of who God is. That's a very, very powerful beginning. So when Moses has a conversation in the first book of the Bible called Genesis, he starts them out in the beginning, giving them their story, their history. Kind of like if you've had a grandparent or great-grandparent that's 100 years old, there is priceless wisdom in that 100-year-old person to tell you about your family story. So when Moses comes on the scene and he has this conversation, he's telling 3 million plus people your story. This is who you are. This is your story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To know that you just didn't pop up on the scene, that there was a plan in place for your creation. So that is the heart of why the Torah is important. Number one, through the course of these many weeks as we cover it, line by line, we're going to have a hard conversation or a look at our identity as a people and the importance of knowing how we live and how we should live. The Torah is not the word law, as what we would say. It's not the word law as we have perceived it. When the book was written and translated over many years, it came, there's two different words. When you convert the Bible from Hebrew to Greek and all the translations, when you get to the English word, there is really wasn't a suitable title, or there was not a suitable explanation of the word law. So what they ended up doing is painting this picture that the word law, in our legal, in our mindset, that the word law was the Torah. So what happens is, because of this translation, we get this idea that when the Torah was written, it's law. Therefore, it becomes law versus a lifestyle. As I said before, coming out of bondage, Hebrew children did not know how to live. They were oppressed by a pagan system, Egypt. Moses threw up and down the mountains, having the conversation with the Most High. It was his way of teaching these people, now that you're God's people. Let's start that you're God's people, number one. But now let me show you how you are supposed to live. And that is where we have strayed away over the period of time. So, as I said before last week, the word Torah does not mean law. It does not mean law in a legal sense. It really is translated into the word teaching. It is a teaching. It is how we are supposed to live. Contained in the first five books of the Bible, there is everything that you could possibly need to live in direct relationship with God. And the problem is that we have spent the last thousands of years trying to divert our way from the original teachings of how we're supposed to commune and live with God day in and day out. And everything that was written in these first five books of the Torah paints the picture, number one, of our need for a Messiah. Number two, that living a certain way in relationship with God opens us up to a deeper relationship and love affair with Him. Okay? So that is the whole purpose of it, is to teach us how to live in right relationship with God, because Adam had messed that all up. So this whole testament is this love letter of how we're supposed to live with God and to bring us back into good relationship with the Most High God. So how did we get to this point? I'm glad you asked this question. So several centuries ago, when the Bible was written, and once again, the children of Israel was in oppression to Rome. The children of Israel became this word Hellenized. Hellenized is really simply, they begin to develop Western thought. Let me repeat that again. They became Hellenized. That means they began to develop Western thought. Understand, anytime a people is oppressed or come out of slavery, even though you set them free, the thought process of their oppressor becomes a part of the detoxification of what a people needs to really be set free. Does that make any sense? So if I spent my whole entire life from generation to generation being oppressed by a government or a system, even though you may change the laws and set me free, in my mindset, in my mentality, in how I live, I still live as an oppressed person, regardless if I'm legally free. For an example, when you look in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were set free after they experienced hardship, what did they ask to do? They asked to go back to who? Egypt, right? Because in their mindset, even though there's God's chosen people, they were still thinking like Egyptians or under Egyptian law or Egyptian thoughts. So what happens once again when we get to the New Testament, they had become Hellenized. What does that mean? They begin to think like, because who was oppressing the children of Israel at that time? Rome. When Jesus comes upon the scene, or the Messiah comes upon the scene, who was in charge? Rome. So their understanding of Roman thought, what does Roman thought mean? This whole concept of kingdom or lordship or having rulership, their interpretation of what even the Messiah was supposed to do was based upon Roman thought. That's the reason why they thought that Jesus was going to come with a military crew, a coup to overthrow the government. Why? Because that was the mindset of what Rome is. Now, the concept of law for those individuals who are on there, that's just concept of law. The United States government, where did we get our legal system from? Roman thought. The houses, how we talk about laws, Roman thought. So how do we think that we can interpret a book that was written by Hebrews and not put our Western thought into it? That has been our problem for the last couple of thousands of years. Because of our Western thinking, we have assumed or thought that we were New Testament church that we forgot that the first five books of the Bible, and the Old Testament in particular, is the majority of the Bible. Paul was not writing for the whole purpose of his books being put in the Bible. The Bible was configured by multiple authors through the miracle and through the working of the Holy Spirit. They put all of these books together that all testify of the Messiah. But Paul was not writing so that he could be in the Bible. He was writing to confirm what the Torah and what the ancient writers had written thousands and thousands of years ago, that this man called Jesus Christ or Yeshua was the Messiah. And he spent multiple books having that explanation. So because the process of getting Hellenized, they began to drift further and further and further away from the original teachings or the original Hebrew teachings or the original Hebrew thoughts of the Torah. And our ultimate goal over the next couple of weeks is to bring that thought process back to the teachings, to bring it back to the original concepts or the original ideas of what those books of the Bible was originally meant for, was to give us a lifestyle on how we were supposed to live. So that there's no confusion that at the end of the day, that this is a lifestyle. It's not a religion, it's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that will draw you closer in to a relationship with the Most High. Okay? Are we good? All right, so we're gonna kind of go through a couple other things, a couple of other historical points from that perspective. Let me find my place in my notes for a second. All right, so another thing about church history, so we can kind of put this in perspective, and so when we jump in to next week in greater detail. So we have people like Constantine comes upon the scene. And everyone knows that Constantine was one of the greatest, advocates for the formation of the Christian church. Constantine was one of the greatest individuals that was a part of the formerly or taking Christianity and putting it on the mainstream. And we know that because of governmenting or putting in of the relationship between government or governmental entities and religion, it always gets really contaminated. For an example, we all know whether or not we like it or not, or whether or not we celebrate it or not, we all know that Jesus was not born on December 25th. I hope that's not a spoiler alert for those individuals online. Jesus was not born on December 25th. Was not born. There's no such thing as an Easter Bunny. Most of our Christian holidays, or most Christian holidays, have some elements that are wrapped up into paganism that has nothing remotely to do with Christianity whatsoever, because there were decisions that were made in how this new organism that was going to be created called the church. So let me say this. Paul the Apostle, Jesus Christ, was not here to develop another religion. Let me say that again. Jesus was not a Christian. He did not come on the earth and say, hey, I'm going to develop another religion called Christianity. He was the fulfillment of the law, bringing it to the full extent. And you need him. The whole concept of grace existed in the Old Testament. We find Noah himself was not a perfect man at all, but it was his faith that found him righteous in God. Because we know that soon as the flood ended, he was drinking and got caught drunk. So let's just be honest. So it's not about this greasy grace concept. We understand at the end of the day, Christ did not come to create a new religion. Paul the Apostle did not come and write all of these books to create what we call the church. Oh, you asked a good question, Larry, and I will answer that, but I'm going to get through my notes as much as possible. And so Larry asked, like, what, you know, if Jesus wasn't born on December 25th and there's no date when Jesus was actually born, so when was Jesus born? Most historians teach us that it's more like summertime of his actual birth. But we know that they picked that date because it was a traditional Baal holiday or Babylonian holiday. So they just swapped out one and placed Jesus in the other. That's kind of how we got to that concept. But yeah, but I'll answer that question in great details and I'll send the information. So this whole concept about Jesus being born on December 25th, all these holidays that exist in the Christian church, we know if you want to trace it back, it all kind of leads to this paganism concept, which has contaminated. Second of all, it was a decision not by the original writers of our Bible, but it became thought that the church replaced Israel or the people of God. That was one of the major components or one of the major reasons why there was a big, huge shift from teachings of the Torah. Because when they reviewed Hebrew lifestyle or the Hebrew children, it was viewed that Hebrew people were legal or they were legalistic. And because there was grace, anything that had anything to do with Hebrew thought and Hebrew culture, they were going to move away from it. So that was one of the major issues or the major components of why we didn't study the Torah. You get rid of Hebrew culture, Hebrew tradition, and you say, hey, well, the Hebrew people, they're responsible for killing the Messiah, and we don't want anyone, and this was actually stated by Constantine, we don't want anything to do with Hebrew children did because they were responsible for killing our Messiah. So therefore, they just nullified the original thought process, the original Hebrew people, when it came to studying the Torah. Mistake. Also, during the period of time, there was this concept that the Hebrew children or Hebrew people were replaced by an organization that we call the church. That is not the case at all. The church was never a replacement for Israel or the Hebrew people. It was never a replacement. there is no scripture that indicates, there's no thought process that indicates that the children of Israel was replaced by this organism called the church. And that is how we've come with this idea that the church is a replacement for Israel. Now, I know people are going to go detail, well, who are the Israel people, and who we're not going to even touch it. That's as we get deeper into it and we talk about race and culture and following bloodlines and all that kind of stuff. As we go through the scriptures, we'll delve into it back and forth. But the church or the organism called the church was never a replacement for the Hebrew people. So the goal is, let's bring it back. Let's bring that teaching back into our studies of the scripture. So when we look at Genesis and we talk about, Cain and Abel, and we talk about how do we come up with this concept of Israel and clean versus unclean animals. And we'll talk about, were you ever like clean versus unclean animals? And I'll spoiler alert before we even get to that point. Clean versus unclean animals was before the Torah was even, before the law was even presented. We got to look at the interpretation of the word church. Larry, you asked a good question, and we'll get to that, but we'll go in greater detail. And we got to look at the original Hebrew translation, but it was never the whole thought process of building a church in per se. So if you want to talk about like even church-wise in particular, what church did Jesus start? Was he even a Passover church? No, he wasn't. So we have to kind of put it in a perspective as well as in, put it back in the Hebrew thought. So yeah, you do ask a good question, but we have to also look at from the perspective of the times and what that scripture meant as far as when he began to address it. But we'll get to that question. I'll hopefully address that in next week. So also another thing, let me go back to some of the rules I talked about last week. Some questions I will not answer not because I'm not going to answer them. I just want to make sure that if I don't know, I'll tell you. If I think that it requires me to add some more research to what I say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be like some of these other people online that just kind of talk and ramble and not have some facts behind it and want to be thoughtful in my answer to what I'm saying and what I'm trying to talk to people about. So I want to make sure that I stay within that. Within those kind of ramifications. So absolutely. So next week I'll kind of address it, but as we go through it, I'll also try to wrap that kind of question in. So about we said upon this rock I built my church. All right. So the first let's talk about individuals. A couple of historical facts. We know that we've all heard about Alexander the Great. That was one of the individuals that was in during the time of where the children of Israel was passed around through multiple nations. So we know at the same time that when we looked at some of the books of the Bible, they were translated by Jewish scholars into Egypt to Greek and back and forth, right? So as I said before, some of the things that we're going to try to do, and I'm going to do the best of my ability, is to hopefully bring back Jewish thought or Hebrew thought back to the scripture. And hopefully we have some good time having some conversations. And I know I have a lot of individuals who have multiple thought process on, and especially individuals who are strict individuals who study the law in particular, and the conversation, are we under law or under grace? We're gonna have some really great conversations about that. So how many versions of the Bible is it? Man, there's only two. Let me say this, and I just make it really simple and answer that question. Versions of the Bible, I won't get into versions of the Bible because at the end of the day, we already know that the Bible has been translated. That's the reason why outside of the Holy Spirit, this book is very, very dangerous. I'll just say that. The Bible is very, very dangerous if you don't have the Holy Spirit to guide you through it. Unless you are humbling yourself and praying and asking God for direction, this book, because you can use this book to paint any kind of picture that you want. And that's the reason why as we go through the Torah series, we're going to read it line by line, and I'm going to try to put as much thought into it as possible. Why? Because the book becomes dangerous. You can paint any picture. I have individuals, they can tell you, they can put things together, and you're like, man, that is scripture, and this sounds really, really good. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we go precept upon precept, line upon line, and also provide historical facts behind it. So everything that I'm saying, I want you to research it. There were decisions that was made by rulers to move away from the Torah as being a part of following the Torah. This is not me saying it. This is historical fact. This is not anything other than this is historical, because as we go into Genesis 1:1 next week, our goal as we bring it back and try to put as much Hebrew thought back into it, the goal is to make sure that we keep it that to that point, not to just divert like how many versions of it, and do you have the NIV or the King James Version or the King James Version 1611, the original King James Version 1611, and then all the changes, because we know that there's books of the Bible that were taken out. The Catholic Bible had the Book of Maccabees and all that kind of stuff in it, so we know that there's translations, the Message Bible. Some are more easily and friendly to lose. The ultimate goal is to draw all of this into a relationship with God, to the Most High. You can quote all day. There's a lot of people who quote all day who live any old kind of way. And you will say, well, I won't get to that. But we'll get in that in a deeper conversation. But definitely our goal is to, we can have those kind of conversations, but make sure that we stay close to that. But that's a very good question. The last question says, is better to marry than to burn? How true is that? Let me explain to you. When we have a conversation in the Torah, which would simply be this. The first original, the Bible teaches you, when you go back in the beginning, when we talk about in the beginning, God created family first, period. Family first, period. Husband and wife, period. I know people can, you can add your 2 cents, you can mix some things together. If we go based upon line upon line, he created husband and wife, family first. So we're not going to, I know people want to have these, but if you study scripture, he created family first. Before there was organized religion, there's family first. Before there was synagogues and churches, there was a husband and a wife and their communion and their walk with God on a day-to-day basis. That's what we're bringing it back to. What does the scripture say? What does the scripture say about family? It starts out with family. It ends with a family. It begins with the family. The first 5 books, man, if we stayed in the first 5 books, man, our community would change. If you want to be honest. Like I said before, you take away our personal identity and our culture and our heritage, and which is very applicable, especially as people in our community are coming to realization of Hebrew roots and Hebrew characters. What if we did stay in the first 5 books of the Bible? Number one, we wouldn't have high blood pressure, diabetes. We wouldn't have the family issues that we have if we just stayed in the first 5 books. So the ultimate goal, let's bring it back to a lifestyle. How should we live on a day-to-day basis? That's where we want to start. That's how we want to kind of build this thing. How did it begin? The dietary laws, okay. You want to eat pig. Is pig good for you? Let's just ask that question. Is it good for you? Does it taste good? Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff tastes good. But is it good for you? Let's just be honest. For an example, one of the things the Hebrew children knew, They call Abba Father. They call God Father. How many people who are parents? You don't wish nothing on your kids that's bad for them, do you? So you give them instructions. Why? Because if you give a kid an instruction on how to live, the ultimate goal is that they will live a certain kind of way. You can keep eating if you want to. That's fine. But you want your kids to live a certain kind of way. So you give them instructions. You say, hey, this is unclean. You shouldn't eat this. You shouldn't do this, that, and the third. How much more should our Heavenly Father give us instruction on how we need to live on a day-to-day basis? That was what the Torah meant to the children, to the Hebrew children. It was meant for them to live a certain kind of way. How to commune with each other. How to work with each other. How do you deal with your brother? How you're not supposed to follow false gods. How you're supposed to live. And what the ultimate goal is, Hebrew people, as a group of people, were supposed to be, based upon their lifestyle, a covenant people where every other nation could look at and recognize that these individuals had a covenant with the Most High. Period. They were the standard bearers of the Most High. It's a good book. It's the Bible. But in the introduction to this Bible, it gives a historical perspective. I'm messing with you, Larry. It gives a historical perspective. And it says the Hebrew people, one of their greatest contributions to humanity was religion. One of their greatest contributions to humanity was religion. What if, as all of us, as you know, African Americans who come into this realization of Hebrew, what if our greatest contribution to humanity was we were descendants of standard bearers that represented the Most High God based upon our lifestyle? Where everyone else was facing golden calves and doing what they had to do, that we understood who the true God was and we lived our life a certain kind of way. And because of our, we lived a certain kind of way, God's hand was upon our life. And when we get to Deuteronomy, we'll talk about the curses that people are so into it. What if the reason why we have some of the community issues that we have is that we have completely walked away from our truth? A covenant that God made with our forefathers that we are supposed to live a certain kind of way. And because we didn't, because we daily choose not to, it opens us up. Because in the books, in the Torah, it tells you blessings and curses. If you do this, there's blessings. But if you do this, there's cursing. Great questions, Larry. We're going to get into all this, brother. So I know you're going to be there every week, right, Larry? So that is the heart of what we're going to come back to. All right? That's the heart that we're going to come back to. As I said before, I'm not going to draw it out. I'm not going to be here for 8 hours. I know people have families and you have commitments for work. Next week, every week, just a couple of updates. Every week, next week, we go into Genesis 1:1. First chapter, first verse. We're going to go from Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. But I want to paint this picture. If you have any questions about, like, history of how we got to the point where we walked away from the Torah, I will upload my notes or I'll email them to you. Just let me know, either message me to make sure that I can get that information to you. But every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10, I will not be any longer than an hour. If you have questions, always keep putting them into the comment section. As I said, the rules of next week. If there's a good question, I'll answer it. I'll send you my response to it within the next couple of days. And like I said before, I like to be thoughtful, scriptural, and making sure that I answer some questions. So, Larry, yeah, you'll probably get some responses to me via instant message or either website or email. Just shoot me your information in my inbox, and I'll answer those questions. But the goal is when we go in next week, we'll go line by line. As I said before, I will have notes and PowerPoint. I'm trying to use a new platform so that I'll actually have notes And if you want some of my notes and outlines from next week, just let inbox me and I'll give you my notes and information. So every Wednesday, 9 o'clock to 10, if for certain reasons, I'll let you know a week in advance. My goal is to be faithful with this study. So every week, every Wednesday from 9 to 10 o'clock, I'll be online and we'll cover the Torah. All the messages will be recorded. So you'll be able to see them on YouTube. And then email. If you are following me on Crowdcast, you can hit a link in Crowdcast and it'll actually download my latest book that I wrote called Tick Book. It's absolutely free to you. You just download it. It gives you some reading. I know the Duncans have read the book and I appreciate their love and support. So just keep following me. But next week, we'll start right at 9 o'clock. If you have any additional questions, please put them in the comment box so I can answer them in the course of the day. Peace, brothers and sisters. I'll see you next week, 9 p.m. I do have a job. I'm a working brother. So 9 p.m. every Wednesday night. Peace. God bless. Stay warm. What? Yeah, it's our same. I'm gonna go to high school. Thanks.
Shalom, everybody. How y'all doing?
Oh, let me go back to my video. Hold on. Oh, am I still on? I'm sorry, I'm still on. My bad. Hey, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm still on. I'm in the broadcast. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye. And everyone else on there, Duncan, thank you for being there. If y'all have any questions, shoot me an email because I was on two different platforms tonight. But thank you guys for being there. I'll see you guys next week. All right. Peace, guys. Shalom.